Welcome to the global edition of our Need Group Investment Quarterly Highlights, where we profile some of the interesting takeouts from our recent fund manager workshop with our global best of breed managers. To hear the full fund manager presentations or for more information about our funds, visit the Need Group Investment website or access more of our content via LinkedIn, YouTube, and podcast channels. In this episode, we discuss what led to the outperformance of global equity markets in 2023. A seasoned emerging markets portfolio manager talks us through how he was positioned last year. We ask a global equity manager about his views on the healthcare sector. We end this episode with a deep dive into major global property themes and how they are likely to play out this year. The Magnificent Seven companies were the major factors behind last year's global market surge. How will they perform in 2024? Tony Cousins shares his perspectives on these companies.
This has been an incredibly narrow equity bull market, and it's been led by the seven stocks known imaginatively as the Magnificent Seven. And here we can see some fairly outrageous valuations for these companies. Now, we're not for a minute saying that these are bad companies. They are not bad companies at all. They are very fine business models, but they're just very, very expensive. And we are not prepared to be sucked into investing into stocks. We think the price you pay for equities is exceptionally important and well related to your subsequent returns. And paying some of these multiples really is not going to reward you. There are some good anecdotal statistics about this group of companies. For instance, at the end of the year, the Magnificent Seven were worth more than the entire stock markets of UK, Japan, and Canada combined. The increase in their valuation during 2023, just the change, the positive increase, was equivalent to the entire value of the stock markets of Germany, France, Italy, and Spain. So this really, for those of you with a hair as grey as mine, will evoke memories of the dot-com boom at the end of the 90s, where we could make similar sort of outrageous claims on valuation. Back then, Nokia, single company Nokia, was worth more than every single stock market in Southeast Asia. And we all know what happened to Nokia. Not that many people carry a Nokia phone around with them these days. So we are not forecasting the demise of any of these companies. You know, we recall in March 2000, Microsoft, which was one of the leaders of the dot-com boom, was selling at 65 times earnings. Over the next 3 years, it delivered strong earnings and dividend growth for its shareholders, but its stock price fell 65% over that period. And that just tells you that valuation does matter. So we've been here before, we've seen this before, and we do think that this is something of a bubble.
Brian Coffey talks us through some of the portfolio activity in his emerging markets fund, looking back at what worked and what didn't work in 2023.
Well, the things that worked, we were underweight China and underweight the Gulf region. Stock selection and our overweight in India was positive for security selection. The same was true of South Korea. Stock selection in Poland worked well for the portfolio. And within the sectors, our stock selection and the overweight that we held in IT was positive for relative performance. Stocks in consumer staples were positive, as were security selection in industrial and financials. Now, that was offset a little bit. So stocks in China and Hong Kong offset the underweight that we had in China. The underweight in Brazil was negative for performance, and Mexican stock selection was a negative for performance over the period. Our overweight in communication services was a negative for relative performance, and security selection in healthcare and consumer discretion was also a negative for performance. In terms of individual names, Varun Beverages, a name which you'll have heard me discuss many times over the previous quarters, that continued to deliver a strong performance for the portfolio. And so the news that drove the stock to even higher levels in Q4 was the fact that they've got a new license that they've been given by PepsiCo in South Africa. We don't think that'll have a huge impact overall on the business, but it's a continued vote of confidence by PepsiCo in Verne Beverages, and it was well received by the market. In Poland, Bank Pekao, a name that we purchased earlier this year, that benefited from an improving macro picture in Poland, along with improved inflation data. And in Poland, there's been improved relations between the new government led by Donald Tusk and the EU. So that was a positive for performance there. Then in China, unusually, we have a positive from Meituan. This is a stock that we did own on the portfolio, but we sold it very early in the quarter as we became exasperated about the continuing developments in terms of competitive environment in e-commerce in China. And that stock fell a further 28%. And so not owning it while it fell that 28% was a positive for relative performance as the Security Significant Index name. Offsetting that, though, was PDD Holdings in China. This is the company that's causing much of the competition in e-commerce. They're doing a lot of aggressive promotional marketing, particularly in low-value products. And so that wasn't always a drag on performance. In Hong Kong, we owned Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing. There's no specific news on the stock, but it was down with the Hong Kong market and is sort of a beta play on that market. Wuxi Biologics, listed in the Caymans, that was sold from the portfolio after an abrupt change of management guidance. They changed their 2024 guidance, which we thought was very misleading by the management to leave it till November to change their guidance, having given reassurances that everything was fine. And we believe that that has damaged credibility in the company. So we sold that security and exited, but not before it caused some damage to relative performance. In terms of changes to the portfolio over the quarter, well, we reduced the weighting in China. We moved further overweight in South Korea, and we added back to Taiwan. We increased exposure in Indonesia, and we took some profits in India, particularly names like Varun that had done so well. We added to AI-sensitive and cyclical IT names in the portfolio as well. You can see from this chart here that China was the worst performing market over the quarter, and Brazil was the best performing, and that's partly why we got a negative from the underweight in Brazil. In terms of the right-hand chart, you see the strength of Mexico. So we're slightly overweight Mexico, but our high-quality name, Walmex, lagged the market and was negative for relative performance.
Andrew Headley shares his optimistic outlook on the healthcare sector.
Healthcare is very interesting. We are very excited about the prospects for healthcare, and particularly life sciences, over the coming 5 to 10 years. It's obviously a very large weight in the fund. As you can see here, the average weight is 25% of the fund, whereas it's only 13% of the index. So we are very overweight. Now, during 2023, we've had a couple of negative impacts on the sector as a whole. The sector is suffering what we would call a bullwhip effect from COVID, where during COVID, there was obviously elevated demand for a lot of healthcare equipment, life sciences equipment, PCR testing for COVID. And because of that high demand, inventory cycles grew longer. So people had to order earlier because there wasn't enough inventory, so they overordered. And now what we're seeing is the other side of that bullwhip effect, where because people have overordered, they now have too much stock and they are reducing orders significantly because they're holding too much inventory themselves. And that's leading to lower orders for our healthcare positions. And so there is a very temporary, as we see it, inventory cycle occurring in the healthcare sector, which has led to lower revenues than we would normally anticipate, and lower growth in revenues than we would normally anticipate, and therefore an impact on share prices. And the second factor we're seeing in healthcare is China. As you may know, China economically has been quite weak during 2023. On top of that general weakness, there has been an anti-corruption crackdown by the Chinese authorities, in particular on hospitals and hospital ordering. And a lot of our positions, so Becton Dickinson, Bio-Rad, Thermo Fisher, they sell into Chinese hospitals. And so because there's been a crackdown on corruption and corrupt practices, the hospitals have stopped ordering. They're too worried to order more equipment. And as a consequence, the companies that we own in the fund have seen a negative from fewer orders coming through from China. Again, we think that's temporary, but equally the China effect is now very small in the companies that we own. And so we feel like going forwards, the drag from China is very small, regardless of what happens in China.
We dive into the world of global property markets with Robert Promisol. He touches on economically relevant real estate, which he believes is the key to a global property portfolio.
We've talked before about economically relevant real estate, and this is really how the portfolio is structured. So residential, U.S. residential in particular, we have demand exceeding supply in the medium term and the long term, very stable operating outlook. Data center and towers, we expect to see the continued digitization of the economy. We expect there to be more impact on leasing from AI in the coming years. On healthcare, it's really about demographics driving demand for seniors housing. Logistics is going to be, leasing is going to be driven by the efficient movement of goods distribution, increasing inventories that are being carried, and onshoring, which is really driving activity. And then retail, as we talked about, is really necessity to be retail.
You can access more information about all the fund manager workshops at NetGroup Investments website, YouTube, or through our podcast channels on all major platforms. This has been your NetGroup Investments quarterly briefing. Make sure to check back at the end of April 2024 for our next edition.